الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن من أزواجكم وأولادكم عدوا لكم فاحذروهم وإن تعفوا وتصفحوا وتغفروا فإن الله غفور رحيم إنما أموالكم وأولادكم فتنة والله عنده أجر عظيم صدق الله العظيم علماء الكرام most respected brothers and sisters at the madrasa before we commence with the subject for tonight which we are discussing and that is the hadith of Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam in which he had mentioned that my Rabb ordered me specifically instructed me with regards to 9 things. We discussed the first 3 and we were going to continue tonight with the 4th one. But sometimes certain incidents make it necessary to switch over to something that is more important at that particular time. Certain incidents make it necessary to even go back to old topics which were discussed. This ayat of the Quran Sharif which I just recited, I recall having discussed it either in the Jummah talk or in one of the majlises. Majlis also, mashallah. But recently quite a few incidents took place where the parents, I don't blame them because of their frustration, they chased their children out of their homes. And those children ended up either in the prison or they ended up, 2 young Muslim girls ended up in prostitute quarters. And one of them was found murdered. And there are so many other things that are happening. One father came and he was heartbroken and crying. And he says, please, Maulana, tell me what to read. How can I get my son back? He has left home. I don't know where he is. For the past 6 months or 7 months, there is no sign of him. He said, what happened? He said, he was on drugs. And I beat him up and told him, get out of the house. I don't want to see you here. And that was the end of the story. So therefore, I thought that before we continue with tonight's topic, let me just mention 1 or 2 things again with regards to this important issue, because it is at present a sickness, a disease. Children have become so much indisciplined and they have become so influenced with the modern day lifestyles that they have gone completely out of control. I'm talking about a percentage of them, or the majority, if we look at the community as a whole. The majority, the fathers have now become children, or the parents have become children, and the children have become fathers. The parents have to virtually beg the children. We don't say that this did not exist in the past. In the past also we had disobedient children. We also were disobedient. We troubled our parents quite a bit. May Allah Ta'ala make us maaf. Amen. But the thing is that, alhamdulillah, we did not go to this extent of leaving home, running away, going onto the streets, ending up in drug joints and such other places. But at present it has become a fashion. Of course, who is to be blamed? It is a long story. We all know who is to be blamed. When the parents find that it is an old-fashioned way of life, taking them to the masjid, taking them to good company, taking them to good programs, when they find that it's an old-fashioned life to keep them away from the cinemas, from the theaters, from the casinos, they find that it's an old-fashioned way of life, talking to them about deen, about the Akhirat, about Jannat, about Jahannam, then the end result is what we are facing now. But it is still not a lost cause. We must never lose hope in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's mercy and forgiveness. And we must believe that Allah Ta'ala has the Qudrat and the power to change hearts. We have seen many, many young people after going far away from deen, but again, they make a roundabout turn and then they become very righteous, God-fearing. And in fact, some of them are guided via dreams, some of them are guided via some people that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala make them befriend. Sometimes it's a program or two that they attend, and some speech or the other, some nasihat or the other takes an effect and they change their lives. And some people, I think I mentioned, are even guided by the shaitan himself or through the mouth of shaitan himself. Wow. As that young person, a musician, he came and told me, of course he had bloodshot eyes and he was in a different state altogether, but he said that, "I want to talk to you, Maulana. I've got a problem." And his problem was this, that whilst he was dancing with this woman on the dance floor, from that music he heard, "Fear Allah, fear Allah, fear Allah." He says he could clearly hear from that music while that band was playing, he could hear the sound, "Fear Allah, fear Allah." And he went cold. And then the girl that he was dancing with was also very worried and concerned that what happened here now. So he said, "Well, I don't know what has overcome me." He left the place. And afterwards, alhamdulillah, over a period of time, he started changing his life. I won't mention his name, and I won't give you any indication of who the person is, but he is regular at the majlises, he's regular in the zikr programs, and you won't even make out that this was the person that was going through that kind of life. So what I am saying is that we must not lose hope in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, but let us see what guidance Allah Ta'ala has given us. Because it is a frustration. I don't blame the parents, it's a frustration. They don't know what to do. In that anger of theirs, they give vent to their anger and they exceed the limits. And instead of saving the child, what they do is they destroy the child altogether. They lose the opportunity altogether by chasing the child out of the home. Because then you are giving him the freedom that he requires, that now he's not answerable to anybody. And as far as money is concerned, it is easy to steal. It is extremely easy these days to steal or to get into a company which will make you an agent for selling drugs and give you much, much more money than your father would give in the business. It's happening. In the time of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, although it is related to that incident, but it is applicable to all times and different conditions. But this was a special condition in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ordered the people that they should make hijrat and go to Madina Tayyibah. Now some people, they delayed their hijrat because of the pressure that was being put upon them by their wives and by their children. They delayed the hijrat. We will go today, tomorrow, because in some cases those wives hadn't as yet accepted Islam. In some cases those children hadn't accepted Islam. In some cases if the wife accepted Islam, the husband hadn't accepted Islam. So it was not an easy decision. But in any case, finally everybody ended up in Madina Tayyibah. But those people who came late, the late arrivals, they realized that those who came earlier, they have gone far advanced. They have got much more knowledge. And in the company of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they have made tremendous progress. And they have got so much now that we have been left behind. So now they made up their minds that we are going to punish these children of ours. We are going to hit them, we are going to beat them, we are going to take whatever action we deem fit and necessary, because they were the ones who prevented us from going into the company of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and benefiting from his talks and from the knowledge that he was dishing out. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he came to know of this, Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stopped them from such an action. And the Quranic verses were revealed, and these Quranic verses, in them Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala states, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu inna min azwajikum wa awladikum aduwwan lakum fahzaruhum Allah Ta'ala says, indeed, there is no doubt, O ye believers, from amongst your wives and your children, there are your enemies. So be on your guard. Beware. Allah Ta'ala, to his warning, he says that amongst your wives and children, some of them, not all of them, some wives, some children, they are your enemies. They are enemies for the parents, and the wives are enemies for the husbands. And sometimes it can be the other way around, that the husbands are enemies for the wives. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that you must beware, you must be on guard, you must be cautious. Don't be caught up. Don't allow them to deceive you. Don't allow them to misguide you. Don't allow them to take you on that same path that they have gone. Don't allow them to lead you to the road that goes to Jahannam. So Allah Ta'ala is warning that you must be on your guard with regards to such children and such wives. But then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, if you forgive them, and if you overlook, and you cover up their faults, then Allah Ta'ala is most forgiving and He is most merciful. Now here I think I explained, but many of us might not even remember, and I don't remember myself what I said that time, that we are not talking about covering up their faults and hiding their sins which had an impact or affected the rights of others. Like if the son went and stole property from someone, if the son did damage to somebody's property, or if the child went and caused harm to somebody, then the father should not take the side of the child, because that is exactly what we were discussing in that hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that I must speak, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, my Rabb ordered me that I must say that which is the truth. I must be just and fair under all conditions, whether I am happy or I am angry, but I must not deviate from justice. So here, if the child, or if the wife, or if the husband, I mean, they are at fault, they have deceived someone, they have committed fraud, or they have stolen some property, or they have caused some harm without justification to somebody, so then it does not mean that now they too we must overlook, we must forget, we must hide, we must cover, and we must take the part of the child. This is not referring to that. Here, these people were prevented and from going to Rasul-e Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam earlier than they really went there. So here it did not really cause any harm to anyone else. The harm was caused to themselves, that the delay that took place in them reaching Rasul-e Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it caused them harm. So that is what we are really discussing. But here in this ayat, if we have to apply it in general, then it means that those sinful commitments of these people, or those things that they indulge in which hasn't caused any harm to anybody else. Like the person is taking drugs, but he's not stealing money from anyone. He's not going and stealing money from anyone. He is spending his own money and he's taking drugs. Or he is drinking. Or the person is womanizing. So now this person is causing harm and injury to himself. So now here the parents are told that do not expose their weakness. Do not go around talking about their weakness. Do not go and advertise their weakness. If you forgive them, if you overlook their sins, and you cover their faults, then you will find Allah Ta'ala also most forgiving and most merciful. In other words, to whatever extent you can cover up and bring them onto the right path, then you should make that effort. Like some people have got the weakness that the moment the child commits some blunder, then straight away they go and tell the whole world about it. Now this is what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not like. Or the moment the husband has done something, the wife will go and tell the neighbors, she will tell the friends, and she will tell the whole society that this is the weakness of my husband. Or if the wife has got a weakness, then the husband is going to go around and tell everybody about the weakness of his wife. So this is not the akhlaq of the Muslim. The Muslim, he will try and cover up, he will try and hide. The Muslim wife will try and hide and cover up for the husband, provided of course it is not harming anybody else. In the same way, the husband, he will not go around talking ill of his wife. Of course, if there is a need, because they want to bring about a reconciliation, the marriage is breaking down, and there is a need to bring about a reconciliation. So at that time, the husband is going to say what's his problem, the wife is going to say what's her problem. or there is a problem between the parents and the children, so the parents are going to say, well, this is the problem, this is what my children are doing, and the children are going to say, well, this is our problem with our parents. That is perfectly acceptable. Therefore, for the Mufti, if you are asking him some question, and in that questionnaire, if the person has to mention that my brother, he had a half a share in the certain property, and then he did this and did that, then that is permissible. That is not even ghibat, because there is a need for that. But what I am getting at is that when there is no need for it, then unnecessarily the woman goes around talking ill of her husband, or the husband goes around talking ill of the wife, or the children go around talking ill of the parents, or the parents talk ill of the children, then that is not the akhlaq of a Muslim. So in this ayat, this is what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is telling us, that you must be on your guard. That means you must not be caught up in those same sinful deeds that they are indulging in. It must not be that their influence, that they begin to influence the parents, or the husband begins to influence the wife, or the wife begins to influence the husband. That one person is a drug addict, but he tells the other, you also try it. You don't know what you are missing. When you will get the enjoyment and taste, and when you will go into cloud nine, then you won't give it up. You will ask for the next one immediately. So now this person must not begin to influence the other. So you must be on your guard. And also be careful that they do not begin to steal from your own home now. Those children, you must overlook, you must cover up, you must conceal their faults all in its place. But at the same time, you must be on your guard that they must not affect your iman, they must not affect your wealth, they must not affect anything else. That now you must be on your guard. You know that this child has got this bad habit. So now don't sleep comfortably and think, take everything for granted. Now you must keep a watch. You must observe. You must see where he is going, who he is visiting, with whom is he befriending, and make effort to bring him to the right programs. Send him to the majlises of deen that are taking place. Send him out in the jamaat. Send him into some hajj and umrah, provided he's in good company, because otherwise it does not mean that the person, the moment he goes for hajj and umrah, he becomes an angel and returns. Some people, after going there, they return worse than what they went. So the company is extremely important even there, because there are many, many hajis and umrah makers nowadays who at the most make their five-time namaz in the Haram Sharif, and many don't even make that in the Haram Sharif. It's only when they are leaving from here, then they embrace at the airport, we are going for umrah and hajj, and they come back, then again they get a garland around their neck. But the time that is spent there is spent very incorrectly. So the company is extremely important. So what I am saying is that check the company of this person. Which line is he going? Which way is he going? In which direction is he going? Keep an observation. Be on your guard. But don't chase that child out of the home. If you are going to do that, then these are going to be the problems that you are going to face, because when that child is going to disappear, now after 6 months, or for the 6 months, now what kind of hardship or what kind of grief and sorrow must be affecting the mother and the father? Where is that child? It is easier to bury one's child. It is easier to bury one's child and read Fatiha and say, well, that's my child, he's gone into the grave and he has turned to dust. That is better and easier than that the child is missing. It is the most difficult thing on the parent. The parent cannot sleep, because even after 20 years, the thought comes into the person's mind that perhaps the child is still here or still there or can be found. We have read some incidents in the newspapers recently, how after years also they are digging here and digging there and digging there. Now what kind of trauma those parents go through? So if these parents had not become emotional, I'm not saying that it is easy, it is difficult, but there is no other solution. We have to be overlooking, and we have to make every effort to get that child out of that bad habit. And look at the incidents in the lives of so many people. Look at the lives of so many people who were in drugs, who were in drink, and who were in wine, and who were in women. But look at the lives of so many young people who have changed, and take a lesson from that, those lives, and always say that, Ya Allah, if these people could have changed their lives, then why cannot my child change his life? Take some consolation from the lives of others, and then find out that how did these children change their lives? How did these youth change their lives? What made them come to the masjid? What made them change their direction? There must have been something. So whatever changed their lives and changed their direction, put your child also onto that same line. But we don't want to give up any of our own sins. That is our problem. We don't want to give up any of our sins. If we know that it is the money that was given to the person in abundance, any amount of money the child has to go and spend as he wishes, there is no control, and the parents themselves are somewhere else, and the child is somewhere else. So we know that what is the cause. And whenever any person spoke about deen, then these parents were the ones who used to say that they are brainwashing, and they are outdated, and they are living in the camel's age, and all those kind of stories. Or the television, the harm that it is causing, it takes away the hatred of sins from the heart. Nobody can deny that. Put any child onto the television, or leave child, take any adult who hasn't seen one picture in his life, one film and one movie in his life, and give that person a few movies and say that you watch this. After a few movies the person has watched, you can say without any shadow of doubt that slowly the hatred of sins is being eroded. It goes away. And then it reaches a stage when after that the person wants to also try out whatever he's seeing on the television. That is the end result. That the person also wants to try out exactly what has happened. All these copycat murders and so many things that we read of, no matter how much they deny that it does not have an effect, the television doesn't have an effect, but we have to admit that it does have an effect. And this is the cause of it, that when the person is going to be seeing all the time somebody smoking, somebody drinking, somebody committing adultery, somebody taking drugs, somebody murdering and somebody killing and somebody doing this and that, then how long is the person's mind not going to receive the signal that you too should do the same thing? So we have to first draw the line somewhere. We have to make that himmat. And this is the purpose of these majlises. Even if we repeat the same thing 1,000 times, that this is the purpose. That we want to get that courage, we want to get that himmat, that it is not beyond our power and means. It is not beyond our capacity. All of us have got that himmat. All of us have got that courage. Like one young person, he tells me, he says, Mawlana, it's very difficult. I said, indeed it is difficult. If it was not difficult, then Allah Ta'ala wouldn't have given such rewards on restraining your sight from seeing haram. This great rewards that Allah Ta'ala has promised. Halawat of Iman, you think it's a simple thing? How many people can really say that I've got the taste of Iman in my heart? Yes, we've got Iman, Alhamdulillah. But I'm talking about the sweetness of Iman. The sweetness of Iman, how many of us can take qasam in the masjid and say, Alhamdulillah, I've got the sweetness of Iman in my heart. Now if we don't have it, it means that somewhere we are going wrong, because Allah Ta'ala is making a promise that I will give you the sweetness of Iman. Allah Ta'ala wants to give us that sweetness of Iman. Now how long are we going to keep making namaz and make a bit of zikr and make a bit of tilawat and do a little bit of gush and talim, but we don't get the sweetness of Iman in our heart? How long? It means that we have wasted all our life and we haven't really attained what we had set out to achieve. Because that little Iman, the sweetness that was going to come, then immediately we mixed it with poison. Immediately we mixed it with poison. There are lots of hadiths where they say that if you read this so many times, you get 1,000,000 nekis. If you read this so many times, you get 100,000 nekis. In fact, it is published also. How can you become a millionaire overnight? So it's good. I mean, if they read it and they get that blessing, they are becoming millionaires. But it is just like that millionaire who collected his million, and before he can blink his eyes, the thief stole it and ran away. So every time he gets 1,000,000, somebody steals it and goes away. So will he ever become a millionaire? Or the whole night you fill up water in a tank, whole night you fill up, because you were informed that now is going to be no rain for the next 6 months, and everybody must fill up their tanks and keep it ready. So people bought big, big tanks and they start filling up. So the whole day and night, for 24 hours the person filled up. And then some child went and opened up all the taps at the bottom. So the next morning when they went, no water in the tank. So the water did fill up, but there was nothing left there because the tank was open. So in the same way, we are not allowing it to fill up. Our hearts are remaining void, they are remaining empty. No matter how much we make zikr, tilawat, ibadat and all that, before it can even fill up, it is stolen. Shaitan and nafs, they put a dynamite and they blow it away. Because you can have millions. There's no doubt the person will get millions of nekis. But just as the person is accumulating millions, It is very, very easy, and especially now it is easy for us to understand that just a small stick of dynamite and it brings down a huge building. So in the same way, just one temptation and the person loses out everything that he has accumulated. So we are trying to get there where we can say that alhamdulillah, now we have got the sweetness of iman in our heart. And to get that sweetness of iman, there has to be this effort. So I told him there is definitely an effort required, but it is only in the early stages. After that it will become automatic, it will become easy. It's not that there will be no mujahada required, but it is not going to be as difficult as in the early days. In the early days everything is a little difficult, but just keep making the effort and then you see how Allah Ta'ala will make it easy. But don't say that it is not possible, because if you say it is not possible, it is not within the power of man to do such a thing, then it means that we are rejecting Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's orders. Because Allah Ta'ala says that I am ordering you to do this. And Allah Ta'ala, la yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. So Allah Ta'ala will not order us to do anything that is beyond our capacity, beyond our means. So it means that it is possible. And the simple example that Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali gives is, if there's a superintendent of a police and he has got a very pretty daughter, and this superintendent of the police, he has got the gun in his hand, and he says that you have got this bad habit. You say that you cannot lower your gaze. You must watch. If you are walking in the street and you see a pretty woman, then it is impossible to lower your gaze. So now I am putting this gun at your head, and there is my pretty daughter. And now let's walk from here 100 meters. And the moment you raise your eyes at her, I will blow your head. Then see how he walks that 100 meters. Then see how he walks the 100 meters. He won't even make a mistake looking that side. So it shows that the person does have the ability. Or he gives another beautiful example. He says that if you can put your hands up, then it means you can also bring it down. If you put your hand up and you cannot bring it down, then it means you are sick and you are excused. Like a person puts his hand up, but now he cannot bring it down. Then we'll say he's suffering from some kind of sickness, that the hand does not want to come down now. So that person will be excused. But the person who puts his hand up, then it means he can bring it down also. He can lower it. So the person who raises his gaze, it means he can lower it too. If we have got the power to raise our gaze, it means we've got the power to lower it. This is Allah Ta'ala's hikmat. And Allah Ta'ala wants to give something on it. That's why my Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Damat Barakatuhum, he says, "Ab to halwe ki dukaan tumhare liye charo taraf phali hui hai." He said, "Why are you complaining all the time that what must we do, what must we do? These are the shops of halwa and mithai Allah Ta'ala has spread. That every time you lower your gaze, you are getting the sweetness of iman. But then accumulate it, don't lose out on it. Yes, wherever there is necessity or there is need, like when you are driving, now there you're not going to close your eyes and drive. Or when the customers are walking into the shop, at that time if you're going to all look down and read tasbih, then you will have nothing left in the shop, especially with the present gangs operating. So therefore, we are not saying that at such a time you do not see. But just like the person who is driving, he is driving his car, and there's a car behind him and there's a car in front of him, and he's going steep downhill, and there's a cliff, and if he makes one mistake and error, he goes down 2,000 feet. Now at that time there are some pretty young girls lined up, or pretty boys, or handsome boys on the pavement. So now the girl is driving, or the boy is driving and he sees girls. Now at that time, will he check properly what kind her nose is and her eyes are and her lips are? Or will he watch the car in front of him and watch the car behind him and drive very, very carefully? So he will be still seeing, because if he doesn't see, he's going to cause an accident. But now that seeing is just like when you're driving fast, there are trees that are going past and you are seeing the tree, but you're not seeing the tree. You are seeing people, but you're not seeing them. So it is not impossible. So I told this young person, I say, it's not impossible. First admit, acknowledge that it's my weakness. I am weak. Don't find fault with Sharia. That is the first thing, that we must not find a fault with Sharia. We must not say that it is not possible. When we say that in these times to run our business, it's just not possible, Maulana, without taking interest and giving interest. So that means that we are rejecting Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's deen. Because it means that the deen of Allah was for the time of Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but now it's not possible. Yes, if there is a weakness, then we must acknowledge it. We must say, it is my weakness that I cannot seem to resist the temptation, because I want to expand my business. I want to go for big, big properties. I want to have surplus properties also. I do not want to part with any of my luxuries. And then I want to go to the bank and borrow money on interest. So that's my weakness. It's not the weakness of Islam or the weakness of Sharia. It is my weakness that why did I go to that? He is drowning and he's up to his neck. Then Sharia allows this person that still consider interest as haram and then won't borrow to the extent that is necessary. But after you have made some effort to part with some of those luxuries and surplus items. All of us, if we have to take a broom and sweep our homes, we will come across so many items that we can get rid of and it can bring us sufficient cash to survive on for the whole month of a couple months. Some homes, there's so much that they can survive for the whole 2 years of couple years if they have to sell such kind of items which are absolute luxuries or they are not necessary at all. So if a person has got it, alhamdulillah, use it. But don't purposely say that it is, or don't purposely borrow and after that say that it's not possible. So what I was explaining, where did we go? But in any case, what I was explaining is this, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that overlook, forgive, cover up. That means do not go around advertising this person's sins. See in whichever way you can change this person, in whichever way you can bring him onto the right track, in whichever way you can win him over, in whichever way you can bring him to the masjid, bring him to good company, bring him to good majlises and programs. Inshallah, drop by drop, falling on his heart, the rains of hidayat, then one day it will grow, the seeds will grow, and this person afterwards can become the guide for thousands of others. There are so many of them. Afterwards, they themselves became guides. There are so many drug addicts that now they are going and bringing others. They are saying that we wasted our life, we wasted our money, we wasted our health. As I explained in some majlis, that a person normally spends money to get health. The person spends money to get health. All these gyms and everything that we see, all the health food, everything you see on the market, it is there they say they are promoting health. That you buy these things and you eat, you will get good health. So person spends money to get health. He's going and buying exercising machines for the sake of health. He's spending so much of money in all these type of sports for the sake of health. So for health, a person spends money. Whereas in a drug taker, for the drug taker, what is happening is that he's spending money to buy ill health. Instead of buying health, he's spending money to buy ill health. Because it doesn't give you health. It gives you ill health. It gives you disease. It gives you sickness. It gives you loss of memory. It causes loss of weight. And it destroys the lung, liver and everything. So here the person is spending his money to buy ill health. Then I explained that the people are spending money, they're going to the courts and they say that I am suing for defamation of character. The person insulted me and as a result I'm going to sue him for 100,000 rands. That is the value of his life, of his respect. So he says that I'm going to sue him. Now so the people are spending money at the courts of law and suing others because they say they have been defamed, they have been insulted. And the person who is taking drugs, he is spending money to be insulted. Because what else will he get after he becomes sunk into it? And when he's going to take excessively, then his health is going to be destroyed. Nobody is going to trust him. The person, everybody will look at his eyes and they will look at him and they will say, watch out for that person. Don't employ him in your business. Don't even give him your daughter. He's a drug addict. Is this, is that. Now, the person spent money to buy disrespect, whereas people spend money to buy respect. And in this way, I explain. So what I am getting at is that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that you must conceal, you must cover up. Don't chase them out of the home. Chasing them out of the home, we are putting them right into the devil's mouth. After that, people will use them. Young boys and girls are being used. I don't know whether I mentioned this incident because every different places I speak and I don't remember where what I said. But once a young girl, must be in 18 or 20 years of age, with disheveled hair and with bloodshot eyes, she dashed into the madrasa office there and she just walked in and I was very surprised and shocked myself that how can she just dash in like that? And she says, Molana, what do you have to say about drugs? Is it haram? Who said drugs are haram? So she asked a question like that. So I saw that this girl is sick. She is a patient. Sympathy must be shown instead of chasing her out. So I told her, I said, but who told drugs are haram? So now she felt a little comfortable. She said, so it's not haram. I said, no, it's not haram. So that made her even more comfortable. So, so I said, but since, he said, but you are the first Maulana saying that drugs are not haram. So I said, yeah, but now listen a little further now. I am talking about the drugs that are prescribed by a doctor or a physician for some medical problem which you are suffering. So controlled. You have been given prescription. So there are lots of drugs. I said, when I had a heart attack, I was also on drugs. So those drugs are halal, permissible. But if you are talking about those drugs which give you a high and which send you into another planet, then that is the drug that we are talking about. And then after that, alhamdulillah, after some explanation, I hope she didn't come back again, but I hope she gave up her habit. But what I am saying is that this, that there are lots of them, that they have got this habit. Now what are you going to do? If you're just going to tell the young girl like that, that I get out, I don't want to see you anymore, you are no more my daughter and I want you to get out of this home, so where is she going to end up? After that, when we are going to hear that this girl has become a prostitute, then what? Will our heart be able to digest that our Muslim sister is in the street? So therefore we just have to tolerate, we will have to bear. It is not that every time it is an azab for the parents, or it is because of the parents' sins that this is happening. It's not necessary that all the time that happens. Sometimes it is due to the parents' sins. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes it such that some child or the other becomes a rebel. But it is not necessary that always that happens. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, which sin he committed? His son, he didn't even accept Islam. And he pleaded to him, he begged him. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, his son, did he accept Islam? Hazrat Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, his wife was his enemy. According to this Quranic verse, she was his enemy because she didn't want to accept Islam and she was the one that was spying. She didn't. So did Hazrat Lut alayhi salatu wasalam commit any kind of sin? Nabiye Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he pleaded to his uncle that just once tell me in my ear La ilaha illallah, so that on the day of Qiyamah at least I can plead on your behalf. But his uncle said that what will these people say, that now suddenly at the time of death you got scared. So he loved him so much, but he didn't accept Islam. His uncle loved Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam so much, but he didn't accept Islam. And as far as Abu Lahab, Abu Jahl and all these people are concerned, they left no stone unturned in persecuting and torturing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So which sin did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam commit? So parents should not feel very disturbed and very disappointed and very down and feel that, well, definitely we have committed a lot of sins, so now this is our punishment and azab. It's not necessary. That's not always the case. Sometimes it is a test for the parents. Therefore, in the next ayat, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, innama amwalukum wa awladukum fitna. And fitna here means a test, that your wealth and your children are a test for you. So sometimes this type of things are a test. But we must first check our own selves, that is it a test or is it my own doings? Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions in another ayat of the Quran Sharif that it is the doings of your own hands. So we have to first check. But if we are trying our level best, the father and mother are pious, they are righteous, they are God fearing, they are trying to bring the child onto the right track, they are trying to give him the right education, the right upbringing, but in spite of all that, the child is in bad company and has become a curse, so then that is not a sin for the parents. It is not the punishment for the parents. So this is something that is happening very, very commonly now, and so many children, unfortunately, the parents are becoming so frustrated that they are beating them up and they are chasing them out of their homes, and as a result, these children are ending up somewhere in the streets or in prison or in some other evil quarters. So I thought, let me repeat this, and I thought I will do it in 5 or 10 minutes, but it took the whole time. But whatever happens, we must believe that it is from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There could be somebody or the other in this majlis who would have benefited, because I believe very, very strongly, and many a times it happens that when I repeat something to somebody, will tell me afterwards, Maulana, it was for me. It gave me a lot of consolation, gave me peace of mind. It changed my whole attitude or something like that. So I make dua that, Ya Allah, whatever I say, it must be good for me first and good for everybody else. Amen. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is giving us wonderful direction. If only we follow this guidelines of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself, who is the creator of man, then we will save ourselves from a lot of harm, from a lot of disturbance, from a lot of depression, and from a lot of problems and difficulties. But of course, if it is our child and he is harming or causing harm to somebody else, and we are well aware of it, that this person is going and stealing from a certain person's home, or he is causing damage to a certain person's property, or he is also part of a syndicate that is stealing cars and containers to keep the drug habits going, then of course it is our duty that we tell the child very firmly that if you are not going to resist, if you are not going to stay away from these type of activities, then we will have no option and no choice but to reveal to the police that who is involved in what. So that is a different thing. But I'm talking about those who are just in bad habits, and there is hope of them being taken out. One person, he divorced his wife. The marriage was not working out. He was a pious person. He divorced his wife because the marriage had irretrievably broken down. After some time, somebody asked him that, what was the problem with your wife? What was the problem? So he said that the problem was with her when I was married to her. Now that she is not my wife, so therefore I have got no problem with her. Finish. So my problem was, until she was my wife. Now that she is not my wife, I've got no problem with her. What problem have I got now? So therefore we must try and cover up. Don't unnecessarily open up a can of worms. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you, and all of us the tawfiq to restrain ourselves from everything that is haram. Ameen. And give us the himmat and the courage to fight our nafs and shaitan like lions for a few days, for a few months. Make that mujahida, and then brothers, you will tell me that Mawlana, the life that I'm enjoying now, I just wish I could have been there long, long ago. Again, I conclude on that same example of that worm. That worm set out for that juicy grape. It was told that the grape is very juicy, very sweet, very delicious. When the worm set out for that delicious, juicy grape, it landed on the leaf, the green leaf. When it looked at the beautiful color of the leaf and the beautiful gloss and shine, so it thought this was that juicy grape that I was told about. So it spent all its life on that green leaf, and that is where it died, and it made its qabrastan. So we too, we know that there is this sweetness of iman. We know that there is such a thing as ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala. I'm talking about this gathering that's here. We know that there is such a thing as the closeness and the muhabbat of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We know of the karamat of the awliya-i-kiram. We know of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's gifts and His ihsan and His mercy and His kindness when the people are obedient to Him. We know everything. But now our life revolves around television, filthy magazines, filthy newspapers, filthy sports activities, anything where there is some kind of intermingling and music and dance and singing, sing-song, then there we think that this is that juicy grape. We spend all our time on there until death suddenly comes and takes us away from this world. Then it is too late. In fact, some people, even death is staring at them right in the face, but still they will say that we can't give up this sin. It's staring at them in the face. They know that we are cancer patients, and the next step is the graveyard. Or they know that the sickness and the disease that they are suffering from, the next step is the graveyard. But still, they say, we can't give up. We must still watch this. We must still hear this. We must still see this. We must still do this. And sometimes Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala takes the tawfiq of tawbah also away. That at the time of death also the person is trying to say tawbah. He can say everything else, but the word astaghfirullah doesn't come on his lips. In Karachi it happened that the person could say everything, but the only thing he can't speak or say is astaghfirullah, or ya Allah, make me maaf. And he died like that because of a certain sin that he was indulging in. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the himmat and the courage. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina azab an-nar. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اے اللہ جو کچھ کہا سنا اس کو تو قبول فرما. اے اللہ ہم سب کو ایمان کی سلامتی نصیب فرما. اے اللہ ہم کا سب کو صحت عافیت عزت نصیب فرما. اے اللہ ہم سب کا ظاہر بھی درست فرما دے اور باطن بھی درست فرما دے. اے اللہ ہمارے صغیرہ کبیرہ عمدن خطاءً ظاہری باطنی ہر گناہ کو معاف فرما دے. اے اللہ سارے عالم کے اندر تو اسلام کی اور دین کی اور ہدایت کی ہوا کو چلا دے. اے اللہ ہمارے گھروں کے ماحول کو درست فرما دے, ہمارے بازاروں کے ماحول کو درست فرما دے. اے اللہ ہمارے سکول اور کالجوں کے ماحول کو درست فرما دے. اے اللہ ہم سب کی تمام گناہوں سے حفاظت فرما. اے اللہ خاتمہ ہم سب کا ایمان کے اوپر فرما. جو بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا عطا فرما. جو قرض دار محتاج تنگ دست ہیں ان کی پریشانیوں کو ختم فرما. حضور پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے صدقے توفیل میں ہماری دعا کو قبول فرما. وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقہ سیدنا و نبینا و مولانا محمد و آلہ و اصحابہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین.